Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Wanting to pacify Kamsa, who was so cruel and envious that he was shamelessly ready to kill his sister, the great soul Vasudev, who was to be the father of Krishna, spoke to him in the following words. Purport. Vasudev, who was to be the father of Krishna, is described here as Mahabhaga, a very upright and sober personality. Because although Kamsa was ready to kill Vasudev's wife, Vasudev remained sober and unagitated. In a peaceful attitude, Vasudev began to address Kamsa by putting forward reasonable arguments. Vasudev was a great personality, because he knew how to pacify a cruel person and how to forgive even the bitterest enemy. One who is fortunate is never caught even by tigers or snake. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana salakaya chaksurun militanjena tasme shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sra Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitam Sra He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabana Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha. So here I am sitting on this hot seat. Haven't been giving classes for a long, long time, and I feel like a rusty tank, as Shivaram Maharaj would put it. He says that devotees that have been doing Sankirtan for years and years in the past, they should go out now. They're classified as rusty tanks. So in order to prove that we're not rusty tanks, we should be going out at least once or twice a week, if not doing full-time service in the temple. I'm trying to canvas for Sutapa so we get that 100,000 books out for the marathon. Anyway, this is amazing text. It's got a short purport, but by the blessings of all the devotees here, be able to say something. You can see here a clear difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. It's very easy to ascertain who's a good person and who's a so-called bad person. At the same time, we don't propose as long as you see dualities, you have to suffer. So in one sense, no one is a bad person, no one is a good person. The so-called bad person is only covered by the three modes of material nature, actually. Everyone's a devotee of Krishna at heart. So yeah, you can see Kamsa, his character is unbelievably atrocious. Actually, he's got a special chapter here. The fourth chapter is the atrocities of Kamsa. All his bad behavior is being described in detail. So here you can see, actually in 33 and 34, when there was an omen, the omen was kind of ridiculing Kamsa, called him the beast of burden. What is the beast of burden? A beast of burden is like a camel, an ass, a dog, an elephant, anything that carries a load on the back. It's called like a beast of burden. So here the omen was actually calling Kamsa this beast of burden. Why? Because he was actually carrying the mother of his killer. So this omen was trying to wind him up. So in this way, it's calling him this various name. And the term Vahasi is used, which is this beast of burden. And he's also called Abuddha. In 33, it's called Abuddha. Abuddha means you're brainless. You got no intelligence. You're carrying someone that's going to kill you. You're brainless. So therefore, this Kamsa was being wind up. How do we fare when we are called names and we are insulted? How much can we tolerate? So here, these are the names that Kamsa is being called. Actually, his tolerance is being checked here. So sometimes when we are on Sankirtan, we have a tough time with people saying no to us. They don't only say no to us, but they insult us and they call us names. The main thing I get is, why don't you go back to your country? I get this all this time when I'm on Sankirtan. Why don't you? What are you doing here? Why don't you go back to your country? So people can insult you in so many different ways. And that what they say, this is the test for us to check whether we pass it or we fail it. Whether we are whether we have the qualities of Vasudev or we have the qualities of Kamsa. We have to differentiate. Who are we? How can we are devotees, and it's a very rare thing to be a devotee. We don't understand the rarity of a devotee. Therefore, sometimes there's a tendency to take it for granted. And especially when we doing temple service, every day we're doing temple service, we take it for granted. And we don't have the realizations to know the benefits of this devotional service. And it's very difficult for us to show appreciation. Unless they say austerity is the wealth of Brahman. Unless we embrace austerity, then it will be easier for us. That purification of the heart, the soul, gives us intelligence to understand what are we making progress in devotional service. So yeah, you can see Kamsa, he wanted to kill his own sister. He had no intelligence, no understanding. He was so selfish, so envious. He couldn't see. He was blinded to his own family. He wasn't even bothered whether his family will be degraded or he will be degraded by killing his sister. Not only his sister, but he's killing his younger sister. She's called Anuja. Anuja means younger sister. So the son, at the age of 25, he was supposed to protect the parents. And if there's any other offsprings, he was supposed to be the protector. But yeah, because Kamsa was so filled with greed, with hate, with envy, all the bad qualities of a non-devotee, that he couldn't see through the eyes of Shastra or to the eyes of a devotee. So you can see an ordinary person, when called names, they would act, they would retaliate. They would return, tit for tat. But a devotee is sober. This is Vasudev. He was very sober. He was unagitated. He was very peaceful. Although he was in total anxiety about protecting his wife, still, on face value, he put a smile. It explains later in chapter 4 how he put on a smile just to protect his wife so that Kamsa would have second thoughts about doing what he was supposed to do, killing his sister. So I looked at the meaning of envy in dictionary. Sometimes we use the terminology envy a lot when people are giving class, but we don't really look at it seriously or go deep into it. envy is a very, very deep-rooted, subtle thing that can destroy us, destroy our devotional kripa. So this envy, I mean, it went into a lot of detail in the dictionary, and I thought, this is amazing. This is what our books say, our Shastra says. And I was reading, and it says, envy is a very painful thing. Painful thing is that you are really affected by somebody else's progress and advancement or possessions. You're so affected that it goes to the root of the heart, and it actually becomes painful. And then you're looking for ways and means how you can bring this person down, how you can destroy this person, how you can do something that you can hurt this person. So this is what envy means. It means resentful or admiring the awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. So you're aware, you're contemplating how I can enjoy what this person has. How comes this person has got something that I haven't got? So this is the resentment you're feeling. Although you're admiring the awareness of the advantage enjoyed by another, still you have the strong desire to possess the same advantage. And then only a sinful person will think like this. Someone that hasn't got any qualities of a devotee, they will think like this. A devotee is magnanimous. He's thinking, how I can share with others, how I can give others, not like how I can take, or, you know, how I can insult, how I can bring down. We want to be, we talk about the bee and the fly. We want to be the fly, not this. We want to be the bee, sorry. Adi Guru is giving me looks. Yes, we want to be the bee that goes for the honey, not the fly that looks for the stew. So here, sinful things are not sanctified by God. Anyone that is sinful, anyone that has envy, lust, anger, greed, all these qualities is not sanctified by God. Nowhere in the scripture will you read, it's good if you are lusty, it's good if you're greedy, it's good if you are angry. Of course, we can use so many adverse qualities, dovetail it in Krishna consciousness, like anger, greed, lust, all these things. We have personifications, devotees that personify these qualities in the service of Krishna, we can use. But it explained that envy cannot be dovetailed to serving Krishna, because it's selfish motivation, very selfish motivation. So it says, and sin to commit sin or be sinful is not sanctified by God, and the person is not even a godly person. If they're sinful, how can one be godly if he's sinful? So he can only degrade himself and try to degrade others. So, yeah, comes some. He wanted to kill his sister, not thinking about her as being family. Actually, Vasudev was in anxiety. He wanted to put a brave face because his mood was, how can I protect my wife? The husband's duty is to protect the wife. The wife is like the boat crossing the ocean of nescience. And the husband was meant to be the maintainer of that boat. If he is not maintaining the boat, what will happen? It will sink. So the wife, through a chastity and duty, she is protecting the dharma of her husband. So in this way, the husband, Vasudev, he's trying in so many ways to protect his wife. Sometimes the wives always give good advice to the husband. like Kayadu to Hiranyakashipu, he was telling Hiranyakashipu, don't fight with the Nrisimhadev, it'll bring doom to you. And then you had Ravana's wife, what was her name? Mandodari, she gave good advice, Ravana, you know, don't do this. So sometimes wife could give good, but it falls on blind, you know, deaf ears. So in this way, they try the best, but we can only do what we can. Ultimately, Krishna is the controller. Sometimes we try to take the law in our own hands. We think we can change things and control things, but Krishna shows us time and time again, we are not the controllers. We just do our duty and then leave the results to Krishna. In this way, we can be peaceful and happy. So, here, Kamsa despised anyone having anything, basically. He wanted everything for himself. He wanted to rule as a king, and he wanted to possess everything. And his friends, his ministers, were actually the demons of demoniac mentality. At one time, when he was in the association, this is when association of devotee is so vitally important. Sometimes in the association of Vasudeva and Devaki, their good qualities would rub off on him. And then, when he went out and he spoke to his demoniac ministers, they would say, no, the demigods are on the side of Vishnu. So if you don't kill the demigods, and if you don't kill Vasudev and Devaki, because Devaki is going to, the eighth child of Devaki is going to be your killer. So if you don't kill them, you're not going to be happy. You won't be the king anymore. You won't rule. So they were actually poisoning his mind in this way to continue with these atrocities towards Devaki and Vasudev. So Kamsa was actually shameless. So how do we deal with such things in our life? Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sometimes we as devotees as well, we don't care about the consequence of a problem. We don't see it because we have our agenda, we have our points, and we want to push it forward, push it to the maximum. So we get the result or the satisfactory answers that we need to pacify us. So sometimes we go through difficulties in life pushing to correct something in a problem. We push the agenda so far that it becomes intolerable, and then we become bitter about it in a situation. Then anger, all these bad qualities come in place, and blame. So in one sense, we're always looking for our own destiny, karma, or whatever the case may be. We're always looking to put blame on anything that happens to us. We put blame. But in the fourth chapter, Devaki is using some politics to get, because when Kamsa wanted to kill the seventh child, he pulled the child off her, he wanted to kill, and Devaki knew that the seventh child was actually belonging to another mother. So her heart softened, and she cared for this child so much. So she was playing a political game with Kamsa. And they say, to be successful in politics sometimes, you use, in this fourth chapter, he says, you use three ways to get a person. One, you use resentment, compromise, and then you ask for a gift. So what she did was, she was chastising Kamsa. How can you kill this child? This is a baby girl. It's not for you to kill. It's the eighth child, the boy that's meant to kill you. Why are you killing? And she was chastising him. And it's not even a boy child. It's a girl. And how sinful it is. You're going to get the reaction for doing this. You know, it's going to bring doom on you. So that's what she said in the beginning. And then she wanted to compromise with him. And then she said, Kamsa, actually, it's not your fault what you're doing. Because our destiny is such that we have to accept everything that happens to us, whether they're good or bad. This is our karma. We have to accept it. And Prabhupada mentions that real surrender means that we have to accept everything as Krishna's plan, whatever is happening to us. Especially difficulties, the reverse of in Krishna consciousness. We might see difficulties if we look at the dualities, you know, happiness, matras, versus to Kunti, happiness and distress, heat and cold. If we see dualities, then we see difficulties as painful. But a self-realized soul sees these difficulties as a purification of the soul. Like Queen Kunti was praying, please give me more of this. Give me more calamities so I can remember you always. Because normally when someone is having a good time, when someone is in the comfort zone, so to say, with no problems in life, happy, it's very difficult to be conscious of thinking of Krishna, thinking of God. In times of difficulties, then we very quickly, want to pray. Prabhupada explains that when there's wars, there's pestilence, and people are dying, then even the aristocrats, even the politicians, we will pray and ask, for help in that sense. Because natural calamities is beyond this human, help. No one can help. These natural, they will happen anyway. No one can do anything about that. So, in this verse, we can learn a lesson by the qualities of Vasudev and the qualities of Kamsa. So we can see in our everyday life, when difficulties arise, we can test ourselves. How are we as devotees faring? How we can handle insults, problematic situations. Sometimes we feel we exploited, we push to the max. We cannot take this. Is this fair? Is this justice? We're always asking ourselves questions about these things. Of course, I'm not saying we be like, vegetable, cabbage. We act when there's a need, but the best way to act is to reveal one's mind in confidence to someone that you can trust or someone that can help you, like a mentor, someone in authority. If you have a spiritual master, we always have guidance to move us in our Krishna consciousness. So we can't say we don't have anyone. So, there's always some devotee there to help us. We just have to open up a little bit. In this way, we can be helped. It's just, revealing one's mind. So in Krishna consciousness, there's always challenging situation. Prabhupada says that real harassment starts when one becomes a devotee. So when we're non-devotees, then it's very easy to cover up the difficulties. Intoxication, gambling, illicit. We break all the four principles. And when you're intoxication, you forget that you're suffering, so-called suffering. And then the next morning, you get a hangover. And the cycle, it goes around just like birth, death, old age and disease. The cycle goes on and on and on. When are we going to stop this cycle and get up and say, I've had enough. Enough is enough. When are we going to say that? When are we going to be Vasudev and not Kamsa? We should keep asking, every day we should ask these questions, because these difficulties, these problems, these adverse situation is not going to end. It's going to go on till the time maybe we leave. We don't want to talk about next birth. We want to proposit, we have to finish our business in this life. And there's no question, we can do it. We have to say, I can and I will. But the can and I will only take place if we develop the qualities of Vasudev. We have to strive for it. It's not an overnight thing. Every day we have to pray and we have to strive on how to reach this goal. And why should we fear? There's no fear in Krishna consciousness, because we have the Supreme Personality of Godhead on our side. There's no question of us failing. We know from Krishna everything comes. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. I'm the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Everything else comes from Krishna, and he's the Supreme. So if he's on our side, what fear have we? What fear have we in adverse situation? So we, and if someone is in trouble, if someone is having a hard time in his own devotional service, then we as a family, we need to help each other. We really need to go out and help each other and feel that compassion. We can't talk about Trinadapi, compassion, patience, love, all these qualities. We can't just talk. They're not just words. We need to put it in practice. And practice means everyday life. Everyday life, we need to practice these things. And they will show up when there's an adversity. This is the only way you can see where you're at when you go through difficulties. When there's difficulties, and if you pass the test, then you're thinking, thank you, Krishna, you have helped me, you know, overcome this. 7:14, Daivi Isha Gunamai Mama Maya Durachaya Mamme Padyante Mayam Itantarantite. Yeah, so this is my verse. I love this verse. Krishna says, this energy of his is divine. Why are people so attracted to this energy? Because it's coming from him. This is the only reason why we attract to this energy, because it comes from him. And he's all attractive. But we have a little one or two, instead Krishna has six opulence, we might have one or two of his opulence and we think, yes, I'm the controller, I can enjoy separately from Krishna. Some people may have five opulence, like celebrities. They have everything. They have fame, they have wealth, they have, you know, five. And you think, where's the sixth one, you know? And then you find they're committing suicide. What a shame, you know? So this is the thing. Because this energy, Krishna says, this divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. With the three modes of material nature, this divine energy of mine is consisting of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. But one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. It's like a calf's hoof that water is filled in. It's not difficult to cross over, is it? Like the ocean or a big reservoir. It's calf's hoof print with water in there. It's very easy to cross. So this is the description. If we're taking shelter of Krishna, then there's no question of us having problems. And the problems that we go through, then we have to see it as a purification of heart. Krishna is personally helping us in our devotional service to get closer to him. And I was reading somewhere, Krishna says that one who is very intimate to me, one who is very dear to me, I take away his material desires. And this material desires can be gross and can be subtle. Subtle is more heavy than the gross. that grows, when someone grows material desires, it's very easy for others to help him, you know, on a gross platform. But when it's subtle, like envy, all these deep-rooted things, then it's very difficult to know where a person is at. So we need to try and help each other. So so another thing, yeah, Vasudev, how he dealt with, because Kamsa was the bitterest enemy, it explains here. What kind of enemy can forgive? What, you know, this Kamsa was such an enemy, he was so bitter, but Vasudev could forgive him. So what kind of enemy are we able to forgive? This is an extreme case, very, very extreme. But we get things like, like a pinch of salt, that the problems that we have is not comparable at all to what Prahlad Maharaj underwent, what Vasudev is undergoing. Imagine pulling a child and just smashing it against the wall. How would you feel? And someone's getting married on the wedding day, and not even outsiders. Something happening in the temple room, and all of a sudden the wife's brother walks in, go to the bride and pulls her hair and try. No one's going to stand and watch that. And the husband is probably like, if he had a gun, he'd shoot, you know, the brother. He'd do something ridiculous to defend his, protect his wife. So these are such extreme circumstances, but we are not even asked these things. This is Kali Yuga, you know. So we are not even experienced this kind of things. We have to be conscious, as this morning, that was very interesting, the four principles. What was that, Sutapa? You was reading beautiful purposes. There's four principles that we always have to remember. Association of devotees. Sorry? Always think of Krishna. Yeah. Listen. Worship. Yeah, so these are things we have to always remember to do, and then in that way we can, it's opposite, oh God. Anyway, I found that the only way to really smooth our rough edges is to go out there. Go out there and give the holy name to be. Krishna says, one that glorifies my name is very dear to me. If we go out there and we come face to face with the materialist, and if we can pass the test, then we're really getting somewhere. That's how I feel. And it's very, very helpful for our Krishna consciousness. And people do come back. If you show a brave face and you're kind and gentle with them, even though they insulted you, I've had people come back to me and say sorry on Sankirtan. So, you know, it depends. They feel bad. They feel bad when they're not nice to you if you don't retaliate. So if there's any questions or points...